Good morning. It's so good to rest in a Labor Day. And that's what Jesus intended to do with us, to make our life continuing rest in a Labor Day, to rest from our deeds, to rest from our sorrows, and to have that amazing peace. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. Today we'll start a new series about spiritual gifts. And of course we'll start with the church. Before Jesus left this earth, he established a church. And after several days, he breathed his life in that church. That happened when the Holy Spirit came on this earth. And the church is the most amazing living body which has life inside, has the life in itself. And the most beautiful thing that could happen with you on this earth is that you became a part of that living body. We are a family. We are a holy family, a heavenly family, a God's family. And we can be together even though we are so different. We are different according to our characters. We are different according to our talents, which you all received when you got your first, when you was born, when you were born. And when you were born the second time, you got your gift. And we are now different even according our gifts. But there is a beauty of having the unity in this diversity. And that was repeated many times by Paul to the Corinthians and to the Romans, that there is a beauty in this diversity. We are divided at least in 19 categories of people. And here in this church we have 19 professions, 19 professionals. We are like 19 doctors who has to take care of any newborn believer. Humanly speaking, even the best hospital here in the U.S. Doesn't have 19 doctors who take care of a newborn baby. But if there was such a hospital, the care will be limited only to the first few days of child's life. But here we have 19 doctors who take care of the child, starting from his childhood, his youth, his adulthood, till he'll reach his permanent home. Isn't that not amazing to have such a family where we have these 19 professionals, specialists, who take care of any newborn believer? And if there is a problem in the modern church nowadays, that problem is because, one of the problems is because we are ignorant to our spiritual gifts. That's because we leaders don't teach about spiritual gifts, or we are not interested in finding more about our spiritual gifts. And that's why Paul started his subject that I want you, brothers and sisters, to not be ignorant about your spiritual gifts, because the body of Christ must look athletic. And if you'd say that half of the congregation is not involved in the work of service, that body could look very crippled and is not right before the Lord. to be a member of the church and not to exercise your functions. Every NBB, that newborn believer, received gifts. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. When we were immersed in God's Spirit, we became a part of the body, and you became a member of this part of the body with certain functions. And now it's amazing to exercise, to practice the functions which you got. And the Bible says that in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Therefore, you don't lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Do you really believe that every one of you, when he became part of the body, he became a member with certain functions? And think about how does it look a member who doesn't serve, a member who doesn't practice its functions. We can call a paralyzed member, or however you call, but that doesn't look right, at least before the Lord. So when we found in the Bible that we received Christ, the next word will be, you received everything needed. Everything. Because when Christ came into our lives, He came with the gift. Now, you don't lack anything. You have everything. It's a matter only to discover what you have. Why we call spiritual gifts? We call spiritual that shows us the provenience, the source of those gifts. Shows us that these gifts are heavenly, they are divine, they are perfect, and it's totally different from the talents. From the talents, at least you find in Matthew 25 that you can develop them, you can improve them, you can increase, you can multiply them, but not about the gifts. The gift is perfect, and it comes to us in a perfect way. If you start to speak a foreign language, you speak it perfectly. If you receive the gift of healing, you can't improve it. You have it. And that's why we have to understand that it's a gift because God has given us a part of His character to practice His love. All the gifts were offered to us on a tray. And that tray is love. Because the gifts are supported by love. What is the role of the gift? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in his various forms. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I told you many times that God made me a hand, and He doesn't want me to try to serve myself. He gave me this hand, but He gave other hand to scratch this hand, and this hand will serve another hand. And that's how God made us, and He gave a part of His character to anyone. You're a pastor, if you have at least somebody who you take care of. You are a teacher because you are teaching. You are teaching at least your kids. You have all the gifts because you are a part of God's kingdom. You inherited His character. But you have only one, two, three enhanced. Some gifts are enhanced in you, and those gifts we call them spiritual gifts. And I don't have all the gifts. Why? Because if I would have all the gifts, I will not need you. And if you have all the gifts, you'll not need me, and we will not need each other. And that's why God gave to us only a certain gift. Only Jesus had all the gifts because he had all the love. He had all the love to administrate, to use those gifts. But we have only certain gifts. And again, the gift is something granted by God to experience, to practice his love, and to be partners in the most amazing work of salvation. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Peter gave us a new dimension of the gift. And he said that all the gifts can be divided into two categories. The gifts of speaking. For example, if you are a pastor, if you are a pastor or an evangelist, you use your speech. And that's why those gifts are called the gifts of speaking. But if you have a gift of healing, or a gift of making miracles, or a gift of serving people, that's the gift of service. And we can divide all the gifts in these two categories. But the most important thing that Peter wanted to communicate to us is that you don't have the gifts in stock. It's not like you receive those gifts and you have inside of you. No, no, no. If you have a gift of speaking, you have to keep such a close relationship with your God, to keep such a dependency, to be able to hear his word and to pass it. That's why you need that dependency. If you have a gift of service, you need to act in God's power, in God's strength. Because if you serve others with your strength, you'll get disappointed very soon. Very soon you'll get tired. But if you are using God's strength, you'll never get tired. Let's say you have a gift of healing. I can't gather everyone and to say to you, listen, come here. God wants to heal you. He's Jehovah Rapha who heal everyone. No, I can't say that. Why? Because I have to have such a dependency of God to know who has to be healed today, but who has to pass through trials. And for him, the trial is a way to improve his patience, is a way to make him more mature. I can't say, listen, God wants to heal everyone. Maybe he wants to heal you tomorrow, not today. Maybe somebody should stay 1 year in this situation. That's why I have to keep such a relationship to my God to understand whom I should lay my hand and to heal today, but whom I should wait till tomorrow, and whom I should say, brother, be strong in the Lord, because the Lord wants you to pass through this trial. And that's why if you have a gift of speaking, you have to keep the dependence here and to receive the word from the God and to pass it. If you have a gift of service, just keep that dependency to use his strength. How do you know that you are acting according your gift? You are fulfilled and happy when you are acting in your gift. But not only you, those to whom you serve are fulfilled and happy. That's two sides which shows you that you are in your gift. Not only you are happy, but also those to whom you serve, because sometimes the people want to have more visible gifts and they will try hard to become a pastor or a leader, and they will stay before people and everyone will go like, it's better for him to stay home than to teach us. And that's why you have to have these two sides. You are happy, but the people to whom you serve are also happy. You cannot ask for a certain spiritual gift. Why? Because God said he has combined the members of the body. He is the designer of the body of Christ. And in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. No, my will, only God's will is implied in that. He gives them to each one just as he determines. That's amazing that God made the body, and he made me a member of this body, and I cannot say, Lord, it's better for me to be eyes and a hand, because I don't like this hand. The hand has to work a lot, and look at the others. It's better to be a different member. I cannot say that. And that it's presented in a repeated way in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But anyway, in the last of that chapter, Paul said, but eagerly desire for the greater gift. What did he mean? He said, you can't ask for a gift. And anyway, he said, but eagerly desire for the greater gift. And after that comes chapter 13 and explains that love has its gift. Peace, the peace, the joy, humbleness, patience. That's the gift of the love. And Paul said that's a way, it's an excellent way. And he says that you can have the most amazing gift. You can move the mountains having a gift of faith. Or you can open all the mysteries of God having the gift of prophecy. But if you don't have love, your amazing gift becomes useless. And that's why he said you don't need to ask for spiritual gifts. You need to ask for the gifts of love. And I will show you this excellent way. And we have that amazing chapter, chapter 13, which is a song of love. Now, no many of us are sure how many gifts are in the Bible. And I'm sure that you doubt about 19 spiritual gifts. Let them account. But this time you'll account them. At least you'll not blame me after that as I came with 19 spiritual gifts. And I gave instructions to Joanne not to click till you'll not you'll name that gift. First gift in 1 Corinthians 12:28 is apostle. Second, yes, it's prophet. Second, a third, teacher. Next, workers of miracles. Next, healing. Next, helping or serving. Next, administration. Next, speaking different kinds of tongues. Next passage. Name the next gift. Yes, the word of wisdom. Next, word of knowledge, the faith, next, distinguishing the spirit, Next. Interpretation of tongues. And we have 13 gifts. Let's go further. Next. Encouraging. Next. Giving. Next. Leadership. And next. Showing mercy. And the next two gifts. It's prophet, it's evangelist, and next is pastoring, it's the gift of the pastor. So we have in the Bible only four places where the gifts are listed. And it's not hard to name all the gifts. It's hard to come to one agreement what does it mean every gift. And we are studying for more than 2 months, and we studied only half of the gifts. But I have to preach in 4 sermons all 19 gifts. And I know that you have different opinions. When you not agree, because I'm giving only an overview, just receive that what I believe. Don't judge me too strictly, because we'll not be able to go really deep in every gift to understand, because we will have to cover at least 4 or 5 gifts per sermon. But the most important thing is when God made the church, when Jesus established the church, he from one side gave to the church the goals, and from other side he gave the abilities to fulfill those goals. And we have, I will tell you today a secret, we have 6 goals of the church. That's something new for you. First is the goal of worship. The second is the goal of evangelism or discipleship. The third is evangelism, and you name them, all of them. And we still have the temple in the hall, and today is the last day when you can put your heart. Just don't lose your heart. Put it there on the temple, because we have already information of those who want to be involved in a certain goal of the church, and we have to work with that information, and we desperately need your help. And that's why today is the last day when you can decide where is your heart. But after that, we'll start with another chart with the 19 gifts, because here are the goals, and again, other hand, we have all the abilities, 19 gifts given to us to fulfill those goals from the book of Acts. And now look how the cornerstone looks like. Let's look at it. It's a pie. We are a pie. We are so delicious. And we are divided in 19 categories, but look at the one sector, is the largest, the biggest, and we'll have the same chart in the hall, and one sector will be really the biggest, the largest. 19 gifts, 19 sectors, and you put your name, where do you think that your gift is? But the 20th, it's empty. Who put their names there? How do you think? Those who are not yet sure about their spiritual gifts. They will place in that empty sector. And now, let's look what God tells us that even having a perfect gift from God, you can be ineffective. And when the perfect gift from God becomes ineffective, from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know already that you can have the most amazing gift from God. But if you don't experience them in love, nothing will help you or the church, and the gift becomes useless. First is the lack of love. Let's look in book of Romans, chapter 12, the first several verses, when Paul is introducing the subject of the gift, he explains what's the danger to have the gift and to be ineffective. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of the God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. First, if you have the gift, but you don't know it, why? Because you didn't start to serve in the church. It's the lack of commitment. When you are bringing yourself as a sacrifice, I suggest to everyone who doesn't know their gift, just to start serving, to make yourself available for the work of service in the church, and in this way, very soon, you'll find what your gift is. Again, the lack of commitment. The next verse verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The next obstacle in using your gift is when we are too much influenced by this world, by the philosophy of this world. And when you look in the Greek original language, you'll find that the world, word world, it's cosmos. It's a order of the things. This cosmos, this world, he lives according to his philosophy. And that order is not established by God. They have their prince, their king. And now we are very much influenced. And let's say that in my childhood, I remember that I tried to copy a lot of experience which we were making in the school in my house. And I made my house a laboratory. And, you know, even though knowing that at 4 o'clock my father will come, I was trying hard to eliminate all the smells from my experiences. But you know that when I saw that everything looks okay, my father was coming, was opening the door and going like, what happened? I said, what's wrong? And you know why? Because I was getting used to that smell, and that smell didn't bother me. I didn't know that there is a smell inside, but my father, who was coming from outside, immediately recognized that there's some strange smell inside. It's the same with us, because we are living in a world and we are getting used to everything which is happening around us, and sometimes we don't realize that we are already thinking as they think. And that's why Paul said, let your mind to be renewed, to be transformed. And we know only one way how we can be transformed, and that's why one of the obstacles why we don't use in a full manner our gifts is that we lack maturity. But we lack maturity because we don't spend much time in God's Word. And the next is the verse which says that by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. The next obstacle is the pride. I'm an ordinary man. John Rickland is an ordinary man. You are an ordinary man. You are also an ordinary man. Jim, tell to the people that you are an ordinary man. You are... Just remember this. We are ordinary men, and if something is special in us, it's only God. He is extraordinary. And that's why we have to remember that without me, church will go well. And the earth will not collapse. Everything will remain as was. Because we are ordinary. And who is extraordinary is God. Sometimes we think more highly about ourselves. But we are most ordinary people. And only God is unique. Only He is extraordinary. These are the obstacles why we are not using our spiritual gifts or God's spiritual perfect gifts in a full manner. Let's see that now, once we understood that, we have to see that there are problems regarding spiritual gifts. And the first problem, which we already announced, is the ignorance regarding your gifts. You don't use it because you don't understand. You don't know what your gift is. The second, and all the problems are from 1 Corinthians 12, the second problem is desiring somebody's gift. And usually we are desiring more visible gifts. What does it mean to be a servant? Ah, that's nothing. To be a pastor or to be a leader in the church, that's something. Or to be a speaker of a big congregation, that's something. But my gift is not so important, and you immediately you are discounting your gift, desiring somebody's gift, and that's the problem of the gift. The problem of us concerning the gift. And the next is making some gift signs of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what 1 Corinthians says, verse 15 and 16 of the chapter 12. If you read together with me, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Or, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. And we have still, in nowadays, this doctrine, false doctrine. Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Or I'm making an eye as a sign that you belong to the body, and because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. But look what Paul said in verse 14. He said, we all were baptized in one spirit, and we became a body. But in verse 29, he says, but all of us are teachers, or are all apostles, are all prophets, or are all speaking tongues? No. That's why you can't take one spiritual gift and make it as a sign. And the next problem is dividing the gifts into more and less important, and discounting those which appear to us to be less important. That's verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We cannot discount, or we cannot divide the gifts in more and less important. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. only seem to be weaker. I would say to those wives who serve their husbands, who are ministering to their husbands who are leaders, but their work is not visible, I will tell today what Paul said, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the part that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. God is giving more honor to those invisible gifts, which appears to us that they are not so important, because he doesn't want anyone in the, doesn't want to feel that you are not so important in the body. He doesn't want division in the body, and that's why he is giving more honor to the weaker gifts. Today, we have a special day, a special celebration. A special celebration when we will approach to the God, to the Lord's table. And it's very important to understand that today is a day when we can renew our covenant. And I would like to repeat what Jesus said in John verse 53 of chapter 6. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. He is speaking about his real flesh, who was crucified for us, and his real blood, with which he appeared before the Father. And he said, everyone is redeemed who uses his flesh and his blood. And today, when we will approach, we can again look at us and judge ourselves. Am I in covenant with God? Am I faithful to the covenant God? How? What's my attitude to the gifts which God has given to me? What's my attitude to the abilities which can be useful for this church? Because that's the most amazing family which has given to us. How do I use my gifts? Do I use them in love? What is my commitment? War is the pride an obstacle in using my gifts? Or am I involved in a continued process of growing into maturity using God's word? Today, we'll approach to this table, but I would like everyone to have this special attitude that you are approaching to the holy God's table, and we should look again inside of us, what's our attitude toward his covenant, which was made in his body and his blood. And let Lord help us to receive his supper in a worthy way.